what we've seen with some of the millennial workers is that there's a demand for greater ethical performance. And here we're seeing Generation Z experiencing or displaying a different type of perception and performance factor when it comes to ethical versus unethical conduct.
Global companies face unprecedented risks and challenges in today's economy. To mitigate these legal and economic risks, companies are rapidly embracing and elevating the importance of robust ethics and compliance programs to promote positive corporate citizenship. On Corruption, Crime, and Compliance, you'll hear from industry leaders and insiders about how to create effective ethics and compliance programs that will mitigate risks and maximize financial performance. Here's your host, Michael Volkoff.
Welcome, Dave. This is Michael Volkoff, recording again from Sicily for Corruption, Crime, and Compliance. Today, we're going to take another look at the critical role of corporate culture. And in particular, I want to highlight another great report that came out of LRN, which underscored once again the importance of ethical culture. And in its latest report, and it's called the 2024 Benchmark of Ethical Culture Report, and I'm going to include it in our show notes. This is just another great report from LRN, which again backs the close connection between culture and financial performance and lower misconduct rates. Obviously, we know that a defective culture can lead to serious misconduct, government investigation, reputational damage, and collateral harm. On the other hand, a positive and effective culture is a company's most valuable intangible asset. It's tied directly to increased financial performance and sustainable growth. And over the past years, we've seen more business leaders embracing what compliance and governance professionals already knew, that companies with strong ethical cultures outperform their competitors with weaker cultures. Employees at ethical companies are more productive, more satisfied, less likely to seek a new job, and committed to the company's mission. So let's go through some of these important findings in the LRN report. And these are, again, just important, board-worthy type of comments that should direct and sort of underscore the need for allocating resources, time, and attention to this issue. Companies with the strongest ethical cultures outperform companies with moderate to weak ethical cultures. And LRN estimated that by approximately 50% across all measures of business performance, market share, customer satisfaction, employee loyalty, productivity, innovation, adaptability, and growth, that the difference was at least 50% between companies with strong ethical cultures and the, let's say, the companies with moderate to weak ethical cultures. Employees at organizations with strong ethical cultures observe misconduct at a lower rate and are 1.5 times more likely to report their observations of misconduct. So if they observe misconduct, they're more likely to report it because they value their company, they value their mission, they value where they work, and they want to protect the organization. Third finding, an organization's ethical culture is a strong indicator of whether an employee believes he or she works in a psychologically safe environment. Makes total sense. The more out of control or misconduct that's going on around an employee, the less likely that employee is likely to feel safe, that they work in a psychologically safe environment, meaning more misconduct occurs and misconduct of the type that can threaten an employee's perception of safety or experience of safety. Fourth finding, organizations suffer from perception deficit. Senior leaders report more favorable perceptions of their cultures. Middle management report only an average culture, and the front lines report the lowest perceptions of their cultures. So that, to me, underscores the need to get out and get your middle management trained and messaging your culture message, and down to, let's say, the frontline workers who often will ask, okay, this is all great, values and culture, but what does it mean in particular relation with my job? What does this mean for my job? So this, to me, is a call to action And we're going to talk about those calls to action after we go through the report. Generation Z, this is our fifth finding, has a higher tolerance for unethical conduct. Interesting to me, if needed to get the job done. Nearly a quarter of Generation Z reported that they have personally engaged in unethical conduct. And I wonder where this comes from in terms of their higher tolerance for unethical conduct, because what we've seen with some of the millennial workers is that there's a demand for greater ethical performance. And here we're seeing Generation Z experiencing or displaying a different type of perception and performance factor when it comes to ethical versus unethical conduct. Last big finding is employees in hybrid work situations consistently report more favorable perceptions at their organizations. Hybrid workers who work at home and then work in the office are less likely to engage in misconduct, which I think is an interesting finding, and are more likely to report observed misconduct because they are more satisfied in their job. That's the sort of rationale behind that. The LRN survey, which we just reported on, focused on several important questions. Do employees perceive the organization as purpose-driven and ethical? Do leaders model and reinforce the importance of ethical behavior? Do employees behave ethically, even and especially when under pressure? Are standards of conduct applied consistently, and do employees trust the process? Is the ENC program, the ethics and compliance program, training, code of conduct, policies, communications, useful and relevant to employees? Are employees rewarded and recognized for how they do things, not just what they achieve? And is trust demonstrated and fostered within and across all levels? And is information shared openly and honestly? LRN used statistical modeling to conclude that nearly 70% of the variance in business performance is tied to an organization's ethical culture. This variance is even higher than LRN's previous report in 2021. In addition to business performance, organizations with strong and moderate ethical cultures have lower rates of observed misconduct, we talked about that, compared to those organizations with weak cultures. LRN cited the importance of a robust reporting system along with an effective investigation and disciplinary process that is trusted by employees. In its earlier 2024 program effectiveness report, which we did a podcast episode on, LRN found that a majority of companies globally lack basic hotline features, such as links to their non-retaliation policy or an explanation of how complaints are handled. So LRN's findings to me set up what I would call a call to action on corporate culture, 5 steps every company should take. And this is because LRN's research consistently paints a picture that every board member, senior executive, and middle manager should view. Corporate culture is an organization's most valuable intangible asset and is a significant determinant of success in the marketplace. If that's true, then why aren't we investing? Why aren't we taking the time to promote and embed and monitor and protect our culture? Corporate leaders know how to mouth the words to express their commitment to ethical values, principle, and culture. The disconnect between words and action is easy to spot in an organization. Board members often fail to step up and demonstrate in words and action their execution of ethical culture principles. Senior executives know in today's environment that governance expectations require them to mouth the words of ethics and integrity. But again, senior executives usually fall short when it comes to acting and leading in an ethical manner. LRN's research has shown for years the inextricable link between corporate culture and financial performance. To this end, let me go through 5 steps that I think are important. Step 1, conduct a culture assessment. No one should be surprised by this first step. Whenever a company wants to implement compliance or culture controls, it is important to begin the process by assessing the current state of its compliance program or culture. Modern culture research, by contrast, places greater emphasis on individual perceptions of observable, measurable practices and procedures within the organizations. Organizations should use a variety of techniques to manage and promote its culture. While the 3 foundational tools to measure culture are surveys, focus groups, interviews, Culture assessments should be supplemented with data collected from other sources, including reported misconduct, rates of verified misconduct, conflict of interest reports, and other type of culture-related data. And the company can gain the ability then to measure and monitor the results over time and design remediation and proactive strategies to address identified culture weaknesses. Step two, review and improve your employee reporting systems. A critical part of a company's culture requires significant investment in its employee reporting, investigation, discipline, and remediation system. An organization can only build a culture of trust and integrity when it encourages employee reporting, timely investigates those concerns, protects reporters against retaliation, and holds actors accountable for misconduct through application of consistent discipline. And that gets to step three, create an investigation and discipline review committee. Companies need to bring together key internal stakeholders to oversee the employee reporting, investigation, and disciplinary system. A review committee facilitates effective performance, accountability, and consistent discipline by ensuring that key actors in the investigation and disciplinary process apply consistent standards and hold leaders accountable. An investigation system that applies different standards to equivalent misconduct based on seniority or performance factors is doomed to fail and undermine an organization's ability to establish an effective culture. Step four, monitor and remediate your culture. An organization has to monitor its culture. On a quarterly basis, the compliance staff should be collecting relevant data on a variety of topics: misconduct reporting data, investigation completion rates, closure rates, substantiation rates, and other key indicators of potential misconduct and culture issues. If possible, compliance staff should slice and dice this data to get a picture on the types of misconduct, the geographic areas or product lines where such misconduct is occurring. Another effective monitoring tool is regular targeted surveys that are focused on specific regions, countries, or subset, any subset of the company's global operations. A rotating survey process that is executed each quarter could provide valuable data and insights. Step five, publicize and report to the board and senior management on the state of the company's culture. Compliance has a unique and trusted role to preserve and promote an organization's ethical culture. To this end, chief compliance officers have to act as the ethics ambassador, as the keeper of the culture, and repeatedly report on culture at least quarterly to the board, senior management, and other key stakeholders. CCOs have a unique line of sight across the organization and can quickly inform and promote discussions among leadership on a state of a company's culture and steps needed to remediate deficiencies and possible concerns. CCOs should embrace this responsibility as a key leader of the organization's culture and promote accountability among the board and senior leadership team. Now, part of this requires a strong relationship with HR or your people manager. And my hopes is that we see improvements in this area and greater coordination. I see and I have observed very positive relationships between HR and working relationships and compliance. And we need to see this same set of behaviors more firmly established in positive relationships, not negative, where one side says, oh, I've heard HR folks say, we're not going to be able to share this information because we're the experts in this area, or we don't do investigations together with you because we're the experts who have to handle these issues. That's the type of relationship that can undermine a company's culture quickly. Anyways, that's our five, and that's just another look at culture. We'll be back next week with another episode. Thanks again for listening, and take care.
If you enjoyed this episode, the best way to support the show is by subscribing on your favorite listening platform. To learn more and connect with Michael Volkov, go to volkovlaw.com.